This morning, after addressing Radhe Shyam and Guru Puja and Kirtan, I gave Bhagavatam class. It was on the 11th chapter of the 6th canto, the verse just preceding the famous four prayers of Ritrasura, the demon form that the Maharaj Chitraketu took in his next life, being cursed by Mother Parvati. I just wanted to begin today's podcast by reading those four shlokas, which are real favorite of Vaishnavas. Any devotees, preachers, should learn those verses, better yet, even memorize them. And they were favorites of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and our acharyas have given really lengthy commentaries on them. Aham harir tava padai kamula dasanu daso bhavitasmi bhuya manasmaratashu pater gunangste grinita bhakkama karutukaya. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet? O Lord of my life, may I again become their servant so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes, my words always glorify those attributes, and my body always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. Then he says, Nanaka Prishtam, Nachapara Meshtam, Nasara Bhumha, Narasari Patyam, Nayoga Siddhira Punarba Mamba, Samanjasatva, Virahaya Kangshi. O my Lord, source of all opportunities, I do not desire to enjoy in Ruvaloka, the heavenly planets, or the planet where Lord Brahma resides, nor do I want to be the supreme ruler of all the earthly planets or the lower planetary systems. I do not desire to be the master of the powers of mystic yoga, nor do I want liberation if I have to give up your lotus feet. Ajata paksha iva mataram kagha stanam yatavat saratak shudharta priyam priyeva vyusitam vishana manoravindaksha didikshate tvam. O lotus side Lord, as baby birds that have not yet developed their wings always look for their mothers to return and feed them, as small calves tied with ropes wait anxiously the time of milking, when they will be allowed to drink the milk of their mothers, whereas a morose wife whose husband is away from home always longs for him to return and satisfy her in all respects, I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service to you. Namuttama shloka janeshu shakyam shamsara chakri brahmatasya karma bitvan maya yatma chadadhara geheshu asakta chittasya nanata bhuyat. O Lord, my Master, I am wandering throughout this material world as a result of my fruitive activities. Therefore, I simply seek friendship in the association of your pious and enlightened devotees. My attachment to my body, wife, children, and home is continuing by the spell of your external energy, but I wish to be attached to them no longer. Let my mind, my consciousness, and my everything be attached only to you. Beautiful. Beautiful verses, beautiful prayers, beautiful meditations for us to be absorbed in. And the first verse, Abhritvasurya, says, Grinita vakkarma karutukaya. He says, my body always engaged in loving service of your Lordship. We should also desire like that for our eternal spiritual body, by which we can be fully engaged in the service of the Lord and his eternal associates. Therefore, following in the footsteps of Ritrasura, we can also pray like him. We can pray not to be distracted by the allurements of the material energy. Pray that our attachment, fledgling attachment to him, just grows and grows until it becomes so strong that we have no other desire other than to render direct service to him. And that this material world and the different aspects of this material energy, like home, family, husband, wife, children, which are really products of the external energy of the Lord and distracting our attraction, our attention, that they gradually cease their influence upon us, and that our mind, consciousness, everything be focused on the Lord alone. That's pure devotional service. Okay, one more time, in response to Naika's query about where her questions went to, I have to take full responsibility for the fact that I filed them in the wrong file. They're not in my pod questions file, but they went somewhere else, and I was able to locate them after some time. So fear not, in due course of time I will answer the questions, although I don't necessarily answer the latest questions I receive, but rather the first questions. And I, for instance, I have a question here sitting from the 4th of July, and some theme suggestions from the 25th of June. And considering that whatever I'm doing here goes on inspiration, and it's sort of ad lib, in other words, what comes out is what you get, let me answer things in the sequence that my mind is attracted or inspired. And before I answer Nilamani Devidasi's question, thanks to devotees who are sending in pledges of financial support for the printing of Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani, Srimati and Sundarananda Prabhu in Australia, Manmohan here in Hungary, and Satnam and his family. Thank you all very much for your pledges of support. It reassures me and certainly will help in realizing the printing of this book as soon as possible. Today, Manoram Prabhu is going to come over with Chaitanya Chandra, and then we'll discuss the details of the actual printing. Okay, Nilamani Devidasi in London asks, how do Grihastha devotees understand the need to maintain their families and seeing Krishna as their only maintainer, which is one of the symptoms of Sharanagati? Well, our primary business is to depend upon Krishna. And in order to be able to do that, we have to be Krishna conscious. Therefore, we have to give Krishna quality time in terms of chanting our rounds, worshipping Him, hearing about His glories in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. And when we do, then we live in the consciousness that whatever comes our way in the time that we work to maintain ourselves is Krishna's mercy. Krishna is maintaining us. We require 4 or 5 hours a day for our spiritual practices. We require 8 hours a day for our work. We require another 8 hours a day for eating and sleeping. And we balance of the time we need for family interaction and social interaction. I hope that didn't add up to more than 24. And for some people, from their work, they will get millions. Others will get just enough to maintain. Devotees are satisfied. All right, this is how Krishna wants me to live. They don't begin to sacrifice either their spiritual values, their family values, in order to increase the comforts of life, because those things are the temporary and eternal purposes for their working and for having the necessities of life. So in this way, devotees take the responsibility to maintain their families, but they maintain their families dependent upon Krishna's mercy, accepting that what Krishna is providing is what we need to have. And that's Sharanagati, or at least one aspect of it. Another question is, how do we tackle fearful situations? She says, such as sending children to non-devotee schools who mix with materialists, the children do, and sometimes mentally imbalanced persons or demoniac persons, how do we tackle Kali's influence and keep our children strong to face these things? Of course, good Krishna conscious education is the best cure. Devotees need to be spiritually strong to do that. We should be also realistic and recognize that adults who have a more developed intelligence and longer association with Krishna consciousness have difficulty to insulate themselves from Kali's effects. Therefore, we should be realistic about children's ability to insulate themselves. Certainly, they can be trained, they can be given spiritual strength by spiritual practices. But Srila Prabhupada's idea was also that until their intelligence matures, until their spiritual strength becomes very solid, that best to not expose them too much to non-devotees. And therefore, Prabhupada envisaged that in the Gurukul system, there was a certain degree of insulation, or rather isolation, from the outside world. Okay, that was a question that Nilamanvi had me waiting for 3 months. Then Shimati is also asking how to deal with the hypocrisy of older devotees who like to preach down to others but don't follow themselves, even to the point of not chanting their rounds. Well, it's important for devotees to be able to recognize the spiritual advancement of others, be they younger or older. And in his Krishnaiti Yasya Giritam verse in Upadeshamrita, Rupa Goswami explains these 3 levels of devotees and how they should be dealt with. And those dealings mean how we depend upon and take their association. Kanishta Adhikaris, or those devotees who are less advanced or less rigid and serious about the Krishna conscious practices, we should keep a distance from. Those devotees who are on par with us, then we should associate with them in friendship, and advanced devotees we should worship. Let's clarify later what it means to keep a distance from less advanced devotees, or the example that Srimati gives here of older devotees who don't practice and don't take seriously their vows of Krishna consciousness. We can't walk away from people when they talk, because that's rude. And especially when they're older, we should also show respect to seniors by being polite to them. Therefore, not associating or keeping them at a distance is that we distance ourselves from their advice, from their counsel. How to do that? Well, in the 7th canto, when Narada Muni talks about how the grihastha man should respond to his wife's family members, this is a very good way of applying that. He says that the nature of the family is to always say that you should get this for your wife, and you should have this house and these facilities and have so many children, and you should give them their education. And Narada Muni says that the husband should nod his head while hearing these things, saying, yes, yes, I agree with you. But because he's serious about Krishna consciousness and is worried about getting too entangled in Grihastha Ashram, therefore he never really does those things. So being polite, smiling, yes, thank you, very good advice, I'll keep that in mind. And yet at the same time, if the advice is not really good, and it's not favorable for Krishna consciousness, and it's coming from a lower stratum, then one can neglect it. So in this way, we've distanced ourselves. We're in physical proximity with the person, but at the same time, we're distant from their advice. And following on from yesterday's podcast, I guess Kalavati Devidas in the UK asks, Could you tell us why deity worship is so important? Why are there different forms of deities made of different elements, metals? Also, what deities are recommended for different ashrams? And there's some more questions. The first question, why is deity worship so important? Well, let me answer this question from the point of vidhi, tomorrow. In other words, the regulated practice of devotional service. But let me answer it from the transcendental perspective. Our motto is to go back home, back to Godhead. What do we do when we go back home, back to Godhead? We serve Krishna directly. We serve Him by cooking for Him, by dancing with Him, by singing with Him, by dressing Him, by changing Him, by bathing Him, offering flower garlands, aromatic substances, singing nice songs for Him, with Him. These are activities that goes on in the spiritual world. Therefore, in the spiritual world, there's nothing else except what we here call deity worship. So, why is deity worship so important? Well, devotees who are inspired and realized in Krishna consciousness, they will engage in deity worship, and they will do one of two types of deity worship, or both. They will either worship deities in the form of marble, wood, and so on, what we usually mean by deity, or they will worship the Lord within their mind and perform the same activities that pujaris do. But deity worship is Krishna consciousness. And that's why I quoted yesterday Srila Prabhupada's statement that the pujari is most fortunate, because he's already engaged in what is the constitutional position of every living entity, which is direct service to Krishna. As I quoted from Vritrasura, where he says, when will I be able to directly engage my body, mind, and words in your direct service? So call it deity worship, call it service to Krishna, the activities of Krishna consciousness. Why are they important? They're our life. They're what Krishna consciousness is about. It's not a matter of importance. It's a matter of essential necessity. It's a matter of what Krishna consciousness is. Hare Krishna.